One of the beauties of our republic is the way the founders have empowered we the people. In our Constitution, for example, we see far more emphasis is spent on the legislative branch than the other two branches of government. Why? Because the legislative branch is closer to the people. Well, soon we'll be seeing a battle for control of the Congress. And in fact, a recent article by the American Family Association, to which we'll link, is entitled Historic Redistricting Battle Reshapes Midterm Elections, Control of Congress in Contention. Walker Wildman is the chief executive officer of the AFA Action and the governmental affairs affiliate of American Family Association. He's also the vice president of SAME. He said, the future of our nation can't be left to historical trends. Every citizen must get informed and vote. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point, and we welcome back to the program Walker Wildman of the American Family Association. Hey, Walker, good to have you back on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, Dr. Newcomb, glad to be on your program with you.
Okay, sure, and you can call me Jerry. And so I just want to let's start with an overall perspective here. Do you think the founding fathers ever intended us to have some sort of like political class, you know, that they're always, you know, in charge of our lives, the same people, you know, with this repetitive, you know, system where they just get reelected over and over? Do you think that's what they wanted?
Well, the government, both state, mainly federal, though, at least the subject of today's talk is federal. The founding fathers never intended the federal government to be the size or the shape that it is today. The articles of the Constitution actually narrowly provide certain jurisdiction, if you will, or areas that the federal government is responsible for, such as the defense of the homeland through the military, U.S. Postal Service is actually constitutionally authorized, but there's really only a handful of areas in which the federal government was actually set up to function. And so a lot of the agencies that we see today, such as the Department of Education, Department of Energy, things like that, those aren't even constitutional agencies, and they have no rooting in the Constitution. So the federal government is undoubtedly larger and more expansive and invasive than our founders ever intended. And that's a very unfortunate thing today.
And certainly one of the ways we can try and, you know, get things back on the right track and so forth is through who we elect for Congress. I mean, we do have an opportunity to participate in that. So I want you to let's go ahead and focus on the 2026 election, you know, without being political on the one hand, but on the other hand, we want to provide a biblical critique because there's a lot of stuff at stake for people who believe in the Bible.
Yeah, this every election is important. I try to stay away from this is the most important in our lifetime, because the reality is they're all important. And where we are today is a culmination of all past elections. So they're all important. But we have the midterms coming up. And historically, the party in power, if you will, the party that's in the White House, over the last 50 to 70 years, they've lost the control of Congress when they've had the trifecta, both the Senate, the House, and the White House. That party has lost Congress, the House, the vast majority of instances where this scenario has played out. And there's only actually two times over the last 50 years in which the controlling party retains control of the House of Representatives when they have the House, the Senate, and the White House. And I think that was once under Clinton and once under Bush II. And so in order for Republicans to keep the House and the Senate, they would actually be going against historical trends and historical norms. So that's what's at stake. And of course, we know what the left will do should they get control of Congress. They'll first thing they'll do on the order is impeach President Trump. They'll argue about the budget and making sure that they can fund their left-wing agenda. And then they'll block, if they get the Senate, they'll block all kinds of nominees, including court nominees, from President Trump being able to appoint the judicial branch over the last 2 years of his presidency. So there's a lot at stake this November, and a lot, two very, very drastic worldviews are going against each other in November.
Yeah, okay, talk about dramatic worldview differences here. We've seen in the last few weeks maybe about 30, maybe a little bit more than 30 Democratic socialists candidates, as some of these are on record as saying, okay, we need to destroy Western civilization. Oh, really? You want to get into Congress? So, you know, I heard one pundit say, you know, look, you can vote your way into socialism, communism, but you can't vote your way out of it.
Yeah, this is a disturbing trend, but we can't, I can't say I didn't see it coming, because we knew this was the logical endpoint of Marxism and this radical left-wing agenda. The ultimate endpoint is where we're getting to now, which is a rejection of all things moral, all things true, all things authentic, and the embracing of socialism and communism, which has been responsible for historically massive amounts of human suffering, has been brought about by these dangerous ideologies. So I want to emphasize the harms here. Very, very harmful. Millions of people have died through starvation and through murder by socialism and communism over the years. So nonetheless, but the Democrat Socialist of America, this is the new face of the Democrat Party. And they're making your Obamas and your Clintons look quite moderate, quite conservative, because I was just listening to a clip of President Obama in 2005 when he was a U.S. senator talking about how he is in favor of mass deportations, how he is in favor of a border wall and a strong, secure border. That was President Obama, then senator, in 2005. I've just got another clip of a Clinton ad, a President Clinton ad from 1996, that was talking about how he was bragging about mass deportations, locking down the border, no illegal immigration, reducing crime. That was President Clinton in 1996. So the Democrat Party has really changed into something that's unrecognizable today. And to your point, they've even admitted on national television that they want to, quote, bring down the American empire. That's their goal, and they want to destroy capitalism while they're doing it.
What are their thoughts on Israel?
Well, Israel's been one of our chief allies just from a geopolitical and foreign policy perspective over the last, since really their inception, their re-inception, if you will, back in the 1940s. But nonetheless, the situation with Israel, there's a lot of anti-Semitism that is making its rounds in the Democrat Party. There's also some anti-Semitism on the right as well, that's been being thrown around.
Wait. Let me just stop you right there. Yeah, I would agree with you, but that almost implies that, yeah, both sides have the problem with this. It really, honestly, the vast majority of the anti-Semitism today is from those on the left, including those who embrace an Islamist point of view, as well as, you know, these democratic socialists.
Yeah, I mean, there's two factions here, and I'll be more specific in who I'm talking about as to not be overly broad using the word right and left. Within the Democrat Party, there is an element, there is a voting bloc and an element within their party, within their ranks, that is in bed with the Muslim community and the Islamist community. And so they don't like Israel because they accuse Israel of genocide, which is not true. And they also are in favor of Islam. And of course, Islam is ardently opposed to Judaism. And many of the positions of Muslims and radical Islam is that they want to wipe the Jews off the face of the earth. That's the position of Iran. That's the position of Hamas. That's the position of Hezbollah. And so that's that side, and that's what the Democrats are up against, and that's what their problem is. When I say the right, what it ends up being is that ends up being an unrecognizable right, and I'm talking about your Tucker Carlson's, your Candace Owens, and others that accuse Israel unfairly of, quote, dragging the U.S. into war and that, you know, the U.S. is just beholden to Israel because, you know, they pay the politicians, et cetera. And then that element also accuses Israel unfairly of being basically responsible for all of America's problems, is virtually the position that they hold. That is also a very anti-Semitic viewpoint because it's blatantly untrue, and it tethers a negative viewpoint on Israel simply based on Judaism and not based on objective policy decisions or policy disputes. And so when I say the quote right, that's what I'm talking about, the people like Tucker Carlson and Candace Owens and otherwise, who have developed a very strong anti-Semitic viewpoint of Israel. So that's what we're battling today. And so we've got to address it where it is. It's unfortunate that we're in this position, but we've got to educate people on, number one, there's the biblical approach to Israel, which I hold and many others do, that the United States, as long as Christians have a say in this country, we ought to be very supportive of Israel as a free state, as God's chosen people. And we also believe theologically that God has a plan for the Jewish people in the end times. So that's a very important factor as well. But even if you set that aside, which I'm not suggesting we should or we have to, but even if you take the Christian worldview aside, just from a pure pragmatic and geopolitical standpoint, Israel is our staunchest ally in the entire region in the Middle East. And they've been our strongest ally for decades and have been at our side, at our defense for a very long time. So it's very smart just objectively to have a very friendly, cooperative military relationship with Israel and economic relationship with Israel. So anybody who says otherwise is denying the vast benefits that our relationship with Israel has shown over the past 40 to 50 years.
Okay, so we've been talking for a moment here about the Democratic Socialists, including their views on Israel. We have about only 2 minutes left to discuss this stuff, but I do want to ask you about how well you think the Democratic Socialists will do. I mean, they have such a different vision for America, and they've done well in these really liberal, you know, enclaves and so forth. Would they do well in the general election? And how do you think the 2026 election will play out? You know, and you've already said that usually the party in power is the one that loses, but boy, there's a lot at stake here.
Yeah, I think the folks who are running as Democratic Socialists, I don't think they can win general elections in states that are somewhat still have their head on right. Now, you go into pockets of New York and California and Illinois, sure, you're going to have some wins there. But generally speaking, across the country, the American people really writ large, the surveys show this, don't have an appetite for this nonsense of touting socialism and communism as a way of the future. Because once again, these ideologies of socialism, communism, Marxism, et cetera, they run nations into the ground and they lead to massive amounts of human suffering, poverty, and death and destruction. And the American people, with all of our problems, they understand the history here, and it's not a good history. And so the American people value our form of government. They value our capitalist economy and the free market, and they want to keep it. And so anybody who wants to, quote, destroy it, and those are their quotes, those folks are not going to be able to win a general election, especially for an office like the president.
You know, here we are in the year, the 250th year of our history, where we celebrate basically the fact that we have God-given rights. That's what the Declaration of Independence says. That's the source of our rights. In contrast, you've got the communist worldview. I remember when the Soviet Union collapsed, there were two former communists who were so disillusioned, and they said, man, when the whole thing collapsed, all they had to show for 70 years of communism was tens of millions of corpses. It was such an amazing statement. Walker Wildman, thank you so much for all you've had to share. It's afa.net for more information, correct?
Thanks, Jerry.
All right. Thank you now. Bye-bye.